Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Yes, we got a late start tonight, but it will all be worth it. After 8 o'clock, Karen Conti will join us. We'll be talking about all the sexual harassment cases going on, taking your legal calls, 312-981-7200. And right now, this is it's always around the holidays, we start to think, oh, I'm going to somebody's house for dinner, or I'm having a party, and I want to, oh, in the old days, people would think, I should bring a bottle of wine. And in the last few years, you start thinking, you know what, forget wine. Wine is passe. It's nice. We love wine. But beer is better, because beer now is not just a six-pack of light or some big, giant corporate beer. It is now craft beer, and in this part of the world, especially, Thanksgiving means the day after Thanksgiving, which means Goose Island Bourbon County Stout is coming out. And as always, our good friend from Goose Island, Jesse Valenciana, is here. Quinn Fuchel is here, too. He's an R&D brewer from Goose Island. And we have a very special guest from Barrel Theory Brewery in St. Paul, Minnesota. Brent Splinter is here. So we're going to talk about beer and beer pairings for Thanksgiving. So if you have any questions as you start thinking, oh, man, I'm going to so-and-so's house, they like beer, what will pair well with the food, these are the guys that can help you out. First of all, we got to thank Jesse and Cody. I know you want to jump in on this. Jesse helped with the big Cody's bachelor party roast here, sending over some lovely Goose Island beer. So thank you for helping out with that. That old man Grumpy was good stuff.
Isn't
that was
good stuff.
Really good Chicago exclusive.
It's a Chicago only. I love that beer because there was a while where we didn't have like a really nice juicy pale ale.
Yeah.
And then when Old Man Grumpy came out, it filled that void for me. And true story, I fell out of love with hoppy beers.
Yes,
and
good.
And that was one of those beers that came and like grabbed me and was like, come on, you idiot.
Yeah,
you love us.
What I liked about it, because I'm not a huge hop guy, but I liked that there were enough hops in there that it was a nice flavor, but it wasn't like, hey, look, we've taken all the hops and put them in one bottle, which is, it's not my favorite.
What I see, and you guys can attest to this, there is like this resurgence of balance, right, mm-hmm. with beers, where there was a while where if the hops didn't knock you out, it wasn't a beer. So like IPAs were king, and like the West Coast was like, yeah, we're the best. And now people are kind of like, well, I don't necessarily love that. I like to maybe taste things. I don't want to feel like I had a stroke after this beer.
Tasting things might be all right.
Yeah.
It's always good. All right, so we're obviously going to get to the Bourbon County Stouts later, because this is the time of year when Goose Island is... The world is focusing on you guys.
Yes.
It's in all the papers, magazines, all the food people and beverage people are talking about this week. But before we get to Friday, we have to get to Thursday.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, everybody used to bring wine. And there's nothing wrong with a nice bottle of wine if you're going to somebody's house for dinner. But as we've talked about in years past, beer has now become something that you can bring to someone's house, and they're not like, oh, great, he brought a 12-pack.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, what is this? This is really cool. So you brought some things for us to sample, and we're going to talk about some pairings, because in my estimation, like a Bourbon County Stout is something that I have after dinner, or maybe not after a giant heavy dinner, because that's going to weigh me down anyway. So what are we looking for when we're thinking about Thanksgiving dinner beer-wise?
Well, when I set up any kind of dinner event, I always like giving a welcome beer that's a nice lighter. I obviously always start off with 312. It's an American wheat ale. But there's a lot of beers that kind of fit that space there. So tonight I had a Riesdorf Kolsch. I was at Matt Brewmaster 25-year anniversary today.
Oh,
so
nice.
I popped in there, and it's one of those beers that cleanses your palate, and it gets you kind of ready for that dinner.
Okay.
So the way I start off my dinner, it's you kind of go up as far as like intensities, like you want the beer to match the food that you're making.
Okay.
You don't want to have a Bourbon County Stout with your cranberry or any kind of appetizer, right? So one of the beers that I brought, one of my favorite breweries in Chicago is Half Acre, and I brought their Pale Ale Tuna.
Okay.
It's this really nice, juicy, it's got these watermelon-y flavors, and it's one of my favorite beers of this year. And I started drinking this months ago, and this is going to be at my Thanksgiving dinner you taste it, you get a lot of fruits. It's nice, easy drinking, but it still has enough of that tartness, you know.
Yeah.
Not tartness, but it's like the hoppiness that will complement something without taking away from that. So it's balanced itself, which means it's going to be balanced with whatever you pair it with.
Okay. And this is the Half Acre Tuna?
The Tuna, yes.
Tuna. That's it. That sounds like an odd name for a beer. fish beer. Yeah. Get past the name.
It's good.
The taste is very good. So you're looking to start off with, as you said, something that's not light like watery, but lighter in body too, and maybe to the flavors and the aromas are going to complement that appetizer food.
Yeah, the hot term is sessionable. You want a sessionable beer, so it means.
Well, you know, I like the hot terms, Jesse. Yeah. I want to be. I want to have all.
That's
the
why I'm here.
Down.
That's why I'm here.
You bring in the hot terms. See, the sports shows have hot takes. Cody, we have hot terms. Trademark that. Let's do that. We'll get. So yeah, sessionable. As you said, you. Figure that out. You just so you can drink a lot of them.
Yeah, you want to have more than one, and it's not like your drunk uncle that lives in the basement that has more than one beer, and you're like, all right, you're not welcome at dinner. It's different. It's like good beer, and so tuna is. I think it's a great starter. So I was like thinking about it. I'm like, what does tuna go with? It's come into the house, have a tuna, chill out, and then you start getting ready for the meal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're having this and everything's going right. And I'm like, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll have a bunch because there's. But you don't want to have too many of your first ones because any fine wine or fine beer, it's gonna go course by course. You want to pace yourself.
That's the beauty with wine. And I've said this before. And actually, speaking to you, like there's rules with wine, right? You can't have like a flaky fish with like a big red Malbec.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And then they look down on you, and they're like, oh.
You get judged. Us people, we're not judged. That's why we don't get along here. So realistically.
Yeah, you're from Goose Island. You're talking about half-acre beer. We got a brewery from Minnesota up here. Every time I've talked, and Quinn's been in here before, you guys all seem, that's what I like about the beer community in Chicago, and I'm guessing from what I'm hearing from you guys, it's across the country. It does seem everybody's supporting themselves. You're supporting each other, rather. It's like, I know this one brewery opened near my house, and they are working with another brewery, and they know what's going on at all the other breweries.
Yeah.
It's a nice community.
We all know somebody somewhere. Yeah. We met, actually, he was in town going to a Dark Lord Day.
Yeah.
Three Floyds. So he was hanging out, and I'm like, who's this wacko? And we became like, friends. And he was working for, before he opened his brewery. I'm telling your whole story, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's accurate so far, so continue.
Yeah, Brett, jump in if he starts,
I'm ready.
But, you know, it's like you become friends through beer, and it just grows and grows. And, you know, obviously, Quinn and I work at Goose, but we've spent a lot of time on the road together traveling for work. And, you know, once we get done with our work events, we're out there drinking local beer and hanging out at local breweries. And it never gets old. It's one of those things where when I taste the beer, I'm like, I want to know where this is coming from, what systems they're working out of, and what their ingredients are, who their staff is. And it's one big community.
And does Quinn, as a brewer, when you meet other brewers and stuff, are they very secretive about their stuff, or will they say, if you say, man, this is really good, I taste this and this, but there's something I'm not. Will they tell you? Oh yeah, this is the other ingredient.
Oh yeah, I am talking brewer to brewer. It's a lot of fun to get into the details of what you're tasting because there's a lot of different ways you can get flavor into a beer and flavor out of a beer. So it's always kind of a bit of curiosity to say, like, hey, how do you get this citrus character in there? Or when you start talking about barrel-aged beers, like, what's your process with barrel-aging? Are you approaching this from a new barrel perspective, or are you putting a new beer in the same barrel? So it's always a fun way to kind of start a conversation, to start a relationship.
And nobody's worried that all of a sudden their quote-unquote trade secrets are going to get leaked out?
I mean, you know, I could give someone a recipe for a beer that I've brewed 100 times at Goose, and, you know, you could take it to Minnesota and brew it on your
system.
It's
going to be different.
It's going to be different. I mean, there's all sorts of variables in play from brewery to brewery, and it kind of lets each brewer take his own spin on a given style or a given recipe.
Does the equipment make a big difference, or is it all in the ingredients and the water and that kind of stuff?
It's a mix of both. It definitely is a mix of both. Kind of local water. You can always change your water profile, too, when you start brewing a beer.
Water profile?
Yeah.
Is that a hot term, Jesse? Water profile?
If Quinn said it, yes.
All right, it's a hot term. Cody, that's hot term number two. Put that down there. What does water profile mean? I know the tap water, bottle water, I'm guessing, but...
Sure. So, I mean, like Lake Michigan is actually pretty good brewing water to begin with. There's a certain mix of salts in there. And a kind of an acid profile that comes naturally to the beer. So every style of beer that you want to brew with, depending on what the salt profile is in that water, it helps to influence subtle flavor characteristics and subtle beer characteristics that will show themselves in the final product. So you can actually manipulate some characteristics of the water by adding in your own addition of salts or acids to change it. So when I say the profile of the water, you're looking at kind of the salt balance.
What you've how you've configured it yourself. Now, we know Minnesota is a land of 10,000 lakes. How's the water profile in St. Paul, Brett?
You know, we use, and that's a really good point, Quinn, because a lot of people say, like, you know, what's your baseline that you start with? And that water profile is a huge thing. And for us, it helped actually us choose our location, right?
Oh, really?
Whether you're pulling off an aquifer or whether you're pulling off city water is a really big deal. I have a lot of friends that are brewers out in California. And that's a whole different ballgame out there, right? You know, a lot of those guys have to use a full reverse osmosis system to get water that's okay to brew with. So being in the Midwest, I think we have kind of an inherent advantage, being able to pull the, you know, fresh lake water or good quality city water. But like Quinn said, yeah, you know, water is what you start with. There's 6 to 8 pints of water per pint of beer.
Oh, geez.
So it's a really important component, and that's something that, you know, baseline of what you're starting with. But to piggyback off what he said too, I mean, we're very open with our recipes too. When somebody comes into our tap room or asks us, you know, can I ask how you hop this beer? Yeah, we're more than happy to share it, because like you said, you know, I mean, it's a level of expertise and uniqueness with your system, the brewer that's touching it, the water that goes into it. But we're more than happy to share. It's a really cool community. It's that's very different cool. than a lot of other industries, I think, in that way.
Yeah, everybody I've met, I mean, you guys obviously I've met many times before and talked to, but new brewers that I meet too, everybody is, it's very friendly. And it goes back to what you were saying, Jesse, about not judging.
Yeah.
It's beer people, you just hang around and go, oh, what's this and this? And they're more than happy to tell you. And, well, what do you like? Well, this will kind of fit kind of what you like. But I think if you like this, you should try this. It all piggybacks onto each other.
I feel like if you can honestly say you can't learn something new from someone else, then you've given up.
Right.
Realistically, like, it's with any kind of knowledge. If you think you know everything, then you're done. You've given up. Like, let everybody else that wants to learn more and take in new info, let them play the game. Russian River, one of the most highly respected, every beer nerd that lives in his mom's basement, like, dreams about Russian River. Those guys used to put their recipe for their beer online.
Really?
Because it's like, here, this is the recipe. Go ahead,
try it.
Yeah, why not?
See if you can do it. We are going to talk more about beer. If you have any beer questions for Thanksgiving, something you're thinking, well, here's, maybe we're eating something that's not the quote-unquote traditional Thanksgiving meal, Jesse might have some beer tips for you. Jesse Valenciano from Goose Island is here along with Quinn Fuchel, who is an R&D brewer for Goose Island, and Brett Splinter, the owner of Barrel Theory Brewery in St. Paul. We'll move on to the next round because we had this beautiful half-acre tuna. We'll move on to that, get your calls, and just, you know, enjoy some pre-holiday beers, all leading up to the unveiling of the Bourbon County Stouts for 2017. Oh, it's a very big deal. And I got to find out more about Barrel Theory, because now that I'm going to visit my brother in St. Paul, I have a place
free
to
beers.
Go and hang out.
Yeah, yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
thank you, Jesse. Yeah. More with the guys after this, WGN. All right, I didn't have any music ready because we've been talking beer with the guys from Goose Island. Jesse Valenciana is here. Jesse's been here many times before, as has Quinn Fuchel. He is an R&D brewer with Goose Island. And tonight we have a very special guest, Jesse bringing in all his beer friends tonight. Brett Splinter, the owner of Barrel Theory Brewery in St. Paul, Minnesota. All right, we got a call because I want to take this back, and it's a call regarding what you were talking about earlier, guys, about the water and the water profile, which is, as we know, is a hot term. Mm-hmm. Taxi driver Bob wants to ask a question. Hey, taxi driver.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I have a question. Do you guys take the water right out of the tap, or do you take water and boil it? How do you do it? I mean, I would think that the best water to use for your beer would be like something like Fiji water or something like that, you know?
Fancy.
Very fancy water.
Artisanal, yeah. At Goose, we just have a carbon filter, and that kind of lays the base for all of the water.
Like a Brita?
That we use.
A giant Brita?
Pitcher by pitcher.
Giant Brita.
Can't afford that Fiji life.
A lot of interns doing the beer stuff. But Brett mentioned earlier, like reverse osmosis, that would be one way to kind of strip everything out of your water. If you really want to build your water profile from the ground up.
Oh, then you could add your whatever salt level you want and whatever else you want to put in there.
Yeah, and that's just another technology to kind of get to the water profile you eventually want to be at.
So you're not just opening the tap and then putting that in the tank. You're doing your own stuff. Filtering it and doing your own stuff.
Sure, yeah. And we also have city water that we use for a lot of our process water.
Nice.
But for brewing water, we like to know where we start. And so we do a quick carbon filter on it. And then we'll add in appropriate salts and acids for whatever beer we're brewing that day.
Sounds good. There you go, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, We only have a couple seconds. What's our second beer going to be? We had the nice half acre tuna. We'll explain it, but give us a little tease what we have, what we're having for our second course.
The next one, before we get to your beer,
yes,
this is going to be for, I think this would go great with turkey. It's the off color Scurry. So it's got this really nice malt profile.
It's really nice and sweet.
Yeah. And it's got a little bit of sweetness to it. I think this would go perfect with a really nice, juicy turkey.
Yeah.
So when I taste this, like, I'm thinking Thanksgiving juicy turkey.
Yeah, and the carbs, you know, all the starches and stuff. I think it would go good with all of that as well, the turkey and the stuff. This is really good. And who is this again?
This is Off Color.
Off Color.
They just opened a tap room, actually.
Oh, very nice.
They've been in production for a while. It's actually John Lafler's one of, he's a Goose Island alum and phenomenal brewer. He does.
You guys have launched a lot of brewers, haven't you?
We have.
That's very nice. It's got to be a nice feeling that these guys are all being successful, and then kind of like, oh, we had these guys and we let them go.
Well, you know, I will put up our brewers
and
now.
And Quinn is still here. Quinn, don't let Quinn go.
We have very talented brewers. That's one thing I will say. I mean, it's great to see all these brewers that came through Goose Island go out and have their success, but I mean, I don't sell our brewer short.
Oh, no, it wasn't that. Yeah. It was just like, there must be a deep well of quality brewers.
Yeah.
If you guys can lose these guys who are off doing so well and then still keep putting out the product that you put out.
You know, what it was before was, since Goose Island's been around since 88, the joke was there was two brewing schools, one of them being Goose Island.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we were like the only player back in the day. Now there's, what, like 187 breweries in Illinois alone, like over 80 in the Chicagoland area. So, you know, there's a lot more brews to choose from, but we still pump out really great brewers, and we still have a great stable of brewers.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's pretty rad, though, to see all these other guys that stopped at Goose, kind of built it themselves and
figured it out.
Yeah,
now they're out applying their trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk more about Goose Island beers. We're going to talk about Barrel Theory beers. We're going to answer your questions. If you have any pairing questions for the holidays coming up, 312-981-7200. We'll do all of that after the news, which comes your way in about 2 minutes right here on 720 WGN. We've been talking about kind of pairing and building your beers as your Thanksgiving dinner moves on. We had a beautiful half-acre tuna to start things off, very light, and then we went with a Scurry, what was the
off-color.
Off-color, which was very nice, a nice, smooth, kind of malty.
Quality.
And then we opened up something from Barrel Theory, and Brett, I'll let you explain what this first one was that we were sampling.
Yeah,
it's kind of tart and fruity and delicious.
It's all those things. This is called MPG. Okay. So we really went hard on the naming game on this one. it's mango, passion fruit, and guava.
Wow.
It sounds
healthy. See, that's just a thing. I could say I get all my servings of fruit in one giant can of beer.
You're not wrong. What's cool about this beer is we're kind of talking on the break there. This is a kettle soured Berliner Weiss, right?
Okay.
So it's a very tart beer. You're going to get, you know, kind of that almost puckering feel. But what we do is we kettle sour this beer, and then we add a bunch of mango, passion fruit, and guava puree directly to the fermenter after the beer is fermented out.
Okay.
So
now what does that do? What does that
exactly
do?
So you have this tart base of this Berliner Weiss beer, almost kind of a sour, very light mouthfeel beer, and then all of this fruit comes through. So on the front end, you're going to get a lot of the aromatics, you're going to catch all of that mango coming through, and then it's kind of tart in the back of your throat there. And what we're doing is we're kind of trying to prove with beers like this that this is one of the beers, especially in our tap room, when somebody comes in and goes, I don't like beer. Right?
I'm
like,
well, cool. Why did you walk into a tap room?
Cool, nice to see you. I'm doing fine as well. Thank you for coming in to Barrel Theory Beer Company. But anyway.
Go home.
Yeah. No, but with this beer, this is something when we talk about Thanksgiving pairings, like with a cranberry, you know, a cranberry sauce or anything that has a little bit of acid in it, even a salad, something like this comes through nicely. And when we're talking about sessionable beers earlier, like, you know, you don't have to be drunk uncle.
Right.
Jesse and I typically have that role occupied as drunk uncle. This is a 4% beer.
Yeah, that's almost nothing.
Exactly, right. So what you can do is this is a beer that you can serve right off the bat, or like Jesse and I were talking, with your cranberry sauce in the middle. The acidity cuts nicely through all of that, you know, sleepy tryptophan that you're consuming with your turkey.
Yeah.
And beers like this, we have a rotating series of Berliner Weisses that we add all kinds of different fruit to. So this one with the mango, the passion fruit, and the guava, it's almost kind of a tropical acidic note that comes through. Super drinkable, 4% beer that is a nice accent to some of the other heavy things you're going to be having on Thanksgiving.
How long has Barrel Theory been around?
We're new. As far as breweries go, we're just a baby. We opened up in June, actually.
Oh, wow. Because I was looking at your website. You got 12 beers there. So
yeah.
That's why I thought you'd been around a while.
No, we're just very busy. With,
that's good.
We're very passionate.
Overachievers.
About,
we're
very
that.
Passionate about getting beer into your face hole there. We've been in the industry for a little while. Myself and one of the other founders, Tim Johnson, and our other partner, Todd, Tibizar, we were actually at Surly for quite a while.
Okay.
Which is a big guy up in the Twin Cities. And we learned a ton of stuff at Surly, had a great experience there, and just decided, we want to do our own thing. And
perfect.
We opened up a very small taproom-focused model up there. So
it's a beautiful space, a very quality
Thank
space.
You. Yeah.
How are things going at the new taproom up on Clybourne?
It's great.
Goose remodeled and opened just a few months ago, right?
If I can be completely honest,
please do.
I might get fired for this, but the original brew pub is where I first had. I was 19 years old.
It was a different time back then, Jesse.
This was 2 years ago.
Lawless.
I had Honkers there for the first time, fell in love with that beer, and kind of fell in love with beer, and that space was so cool. And when I thought of pubs and bars, I always thought of the original Goose Island. And the new one's nice and wide, and it's modern, but I'm not very young. So I'm like, I'll tell you what, it used to be different, but it's a great space. And at the end of the day, the beer that's going to be coming out of there, the beer that's in there is phenomenal, so... it's there for the beer. It's not so much my memory, right?
Let me ask you guys this, and then we'll move on because we have another Barrel Theory beer, and then we've got to get to the Bourbon County Stouts. But since you said with wine there were rules, with beer there's no rules. So I was listening to Brett talk about having the MPG with the cranberries and stuff, and we had the nice scurry that was going to go good with the turkey. Is it okay to have a couple different beers in front of me, so if I'm eating my cranberries and maybe my Hawaiian salad like your grandma makes, I can say, I'm going to take a couple sips of MPG, and then when I get into my stuffing and my turkey, I'm going to go with my scurry, and it's all right in front of me, like I'd have a red or a white in front of me.
That's where Thanksgiving becomes fun. Yeah. Like, when you're done making fun of your girlfriend's new boyfriend, you're like, what's next? Like, all right, cool. So, you just had, a Belgian double with your turkey, and that makes sense. It's very safe.
Sure.
But let's have Barrel Theory's Berliner Weiss.
Yeah.
And it's like, now what flavors do you get? And that just causes conversation, and it's and wine is so, I love wine, don't get me wrong.
I do too, but there's a time and a place,
Yeah. Yeah, and for me now it's like, wine can sit back and hang out somewhere else. Like, let the beer come up to the table and
there you go.
Let's have a quality time with
All right,
beer.
Now I know you are very excited about this.
Yes.
This is some special bottle that Brett brought down from Barrel Theory, and you had to go on a quest, and you had to dig a hole and crawl. There's something crazy about this bottle that you could not be more excited about.
We kidnapped some Hawaiians, and this is completely based in fiction.
Or is it?
I actually, so the whole thing was, shout out to Cruz Blanca. They make amazing beers.
Yep.
They do a really amazing coconut IPA and a coconut porter.
Ooh.
So I was like yapping about this, and this jerk shows up and he's like, oh yeah, try my coconut stout. And I'm like, what? No. So
coconut stout.
I'll let you talk about
it. Yeah, what
beer.
Is this called?
I'm making stories up.
So, we brewed this beer. This beer is called Black Lotus, and this is actually something that's available in our taproom right now and in Crowlers. And first of all, I just want to be able to thank you. We want to be the beer that you make fun of the new boyfriend with. Can you claim that? First
Perfect.
Of all, the next
Give me a Black Lotus. I got to mock this guy.
Juice me up. But this is Black Lotus, and what it is so it's a milk stout. So it's a lactose-based milk stout that we brew, and then we add what I would consider to be an unreasonable amount of coconut to this beer. We get bags of shredded coconut, and then we actually take it next door to the restaurant next door. It's called Dark Horse Bar and Eatery. Shameless plug. It's really cool. But what we do is we actually toast it right in their ovens right next door, bring it over, and then we add this beer. In post-fermentation, this beer sits on a bunch of coconut, and we literally taste it every day until it's ready.
Wow.
This is a
tough
beer. Yeah,
it's a hard job.
It really
Cody,
sucks.
We need to punch our guidance counselors in the face.
Right, exactly. PSA, leave your cubicle right now and open a brewery. But that being said, what we do with this beer, when we talk about pairing, what you said earlier is very spot on. You don't have to necessarily marry a beer to a certain dish, right? I can't tell you what your palate's like or Jesse's or what you like to taste. This beer, a lot of people would typically pair this with dessert, but Jesse and I were talking earlier, and we're like, this is actually kind of a cool mashed potatoes beer.
Yeah.
And,
which is weird. That was a weird thing we said.
Yeah, it is weird.
Beer nerd talk.
Mashed potatoes comes up shockingly a lot in our conversation. But anyway, I'm going to leave the Goose Island has a new series called Bourbon County Stout,
yes,
and I think it'll be good for dessert. But this beer is something that I think would be really cool with a mashed potatoes.
It's really good.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it has a great body to it, and that lactose base, that milk stout, allows it to be a lower alcohol beer. You know, it's not a 10% stout. It's a milk stout. But the coconut
ABV?
The ABV, you know, in the industry, when we say a lower alcohol beer, you know,
11?
Yeah, you know, it's just under 15%. No, it's
relatively lower.
It's under 7%. It's
6.8. Well,
depending on how often you drink, it's a sessionable beer? Question mark. But what's great about this?
Get out of here, Dad.
Yeah. Don't tell me how to live my life. But I think this beer pairs very well with a heartier dish like mashed potatoes and starch. It comes through really well. But the coconut is great. It's not overly sweet.
Really good.
But if you wanted to pair it with a dessert, it works too.
All right. Yeah.
So, but to your point, whatever works for you, right?
Now, you know, we're drinking this here, and this is obviously the lost arc that Jesse has been trying to get down here. Can we get Barrel Theory in the Chicago area yet?
It is available currently in the Radio 720 WGN studio.
All right. We've got one bottle if you're here.
Otherwise, yeah. No, we don't support distribution down in Chicago right now. But
snobs. St. Paul beer snobs.
I have good news for you. There is a fairly robust interstate system has been constructed in the United States. And you're more than welcome to come up and, come see us in St. Paul.
And Southwest flies up there. It's like a 45-minute flight.
It's like 15 minutes, and I think it's like $8.
Yeah, it's very cheap.
And you're getting free beer.
Exactly.
All night.
Easy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. And then when we come back, we will talk to Quinn Fuchel about the new Bourbon County Stouts. I see them sitting over there. The Barrel Theory stuff is fantastic. You can, if you're going up there, go to barreltheory.com if you're going to be in the Twin Cities area or anywhere in Minnesota. It's a tiny little state, I think. It's just like 6 miles square, right?
8 if you include the boundary waters.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you can, anywhere in Minnesota, they'll be able to get to you within a 20-minute drive. Perfect. All right, we'll talk about the Bourbon County Stouts when we come back. It's WGN. It's almost Thanksgiving. That means it's almost Black Friday. That means it's almost time for the Bourbon County Stouts from Goose Island. People around the world are getting revved up. They're already starting to stand in line. Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island is here, and so is Quinn Fuchel. He is one of the brewers at Goose Island, and we are going to find out now about the 6 this year. Now, Quinn, that seems like a lot. But last year, how many did you do last year? About the same?
We did 4 last year.
4 last year. Yeah. So why deciding to go for 6? Just because you have to outdo yourself?
That's one thing, yes. Jesse is always one-upping everyone.
One at a time.
But a couple of new variants this year. Every year we'll do a coffee variant.
Right.
We'll do a barley wine variant.
Okay.
We always have our original Bourbon County Stout.
Sure.
We'll have a proprietor's blend, and that flavor addition changes every year. We'll try to do a national variant where we're actually adding in different flavor combinations, and that's getting to kind of our national market.
Okay.
And then this year we have a special beer that's called Barley Wine, or Bourbon County Stout Reserve, which is going to be the first time we're really featuring a very specific barrel. So that one is in Knob Creek barrels.
Okay.
11-year-old Knob Creek barrels. So it kind of helps to showcase what the barrel really brings to our barrel aging program.
And is that's just going to be here and in Kentucky, right?
Right. That's a collaboration with Knob Creek. They helped us out by getting some of these unique barrels. They have a really, really different kind of unique flavor profile to them, and they're also celebrating their 25th anniversary.
Very nice.
So it's in concert with that celebration as well.
Now that's going to be bottled as well. It's not just going to be at the tap room.
Right. So that'll be bottled, released on Black Friday as well.
Now when you're preparing for this Black Friday, because you know there's going to be a ton of people waiting for this, are you purposely making more because the demand is high, or are you keeping the supply a little lower so that people will be going, oh, I should have gotten out at 4 a.m. and been in line at Binny's or wherever to pick up my Bourbon County Stout?
I mean, realistically, if we can be candid,
please do.
If we could make that beer all the time and have a bunch of it, we would, but it's that beer, and Quinn, you can explain more about this. It's not a beer that you can. It's not a very easy beer.
No, it sounds. It puts a lot of stress. Like it.
Yeah. It's a quality beer that puts a lot of stress on these guys, and I think they would all probably quit, and there'd be a bunch of brand new breweries if that's all we had to do.
It's very process intensive. It's also time intensive, where we're aging this beer in bourbon barrels for between 6 and 12 months, and we want to make sure that flavor profile develops over time, so that we want to keep a consistent flavor profile, and really we're not going to compromise on that quality, so we need the time.
Now, the coffee stout is with Intelligentsia, and that stays the same, correct?
Yep. So we change the coffee every year, actually.
Okay.
So this year is Black Cat Espresso,
okay,
which is back to the 2010 version that we did, so it kind of made a full circle. We just loved it, brought it back. It's got a nice roasty character to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful variant.
And the original, the namesake, the Bourbon County Stout, that's, now these are first use bourbon barrels. That means the last time they were used, bourbon was in them, and now you're putting your beer in it, so that's first use. What's the different flavor between the first use barrel, which I'm guessing is a lot more bourbony because there's been nothing else in it, and these 11-year-old Knob Creek barrels?
Sure. So, I mean, you get a little bit more of an oak character from those Knob Creek barrels. You get a little bit more of a depth of kind of bourbon caramel character to it.
Okay.
If you think about the difference between kind of a bourbon that's aged maybe 5 to 7 years versus a bourbon that's aged maybe 11 to 12 or more, you'll get a little bit more depth of flavor to it. And so that actually translates really nicely into the beer. So you get a little bit more depth of a bourbon character to it. If you're a bourbon drinker, you probably like Bourbon County Stout to begin with. Okay. You're going to love Bourbon County Reserve.
Very nice. All right, what's this first one? Because you brought three different ones for us to try, or a couple to try.
Yeah.
What is this one that we're going to try?
So this is the national variant that I mentioned. It's our BCS Northwoods.
Ah.
So this actually has blueberry juice added to it and almond extract. So you get a nice fruity character from the blueberry, but you also get a really cool marzipan or like amaretto character from the almond extract. And it's very different. We'll taste the beer next that has actual whole roasted almonds in it, so you can tell the difference between the almond character that you get from the extract and the almond character you get from the whole roasted.
This is really nice. Now, let me ask you, because people, you know, they think, oh, for a beer to be good, it's got to be ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want Bourbon County Stout to be ice cold, right?
No, what's interesting about these variants is that you add in some of these adjuncts, and as you let the beer warm up, it actually helps to let those aromas be a little bit more expressive. So you get it around like 50 to 55 degrees, and that's really kind of your wheelhouse for drinking these Imperial Stouts.
So take it out, let it warm up a little bit. And what's the next one? Because I don't want to run out of run out of time.
Yeah, yeah. Another, you know, sessionable stout that we have here.
Yeah, and tell people. Now, because my wife will go, oh, you're going to have some of that Bourbon County Stout. I'm like, well, I'm going to have a little Bourbon County Stout, because a bottle of Bourbon County Stout and I'd be sleeping through the last hour of the show.
Yep. So
what's the alcohol in these?
This one here, our original goes between 14.1 and 14.7%
sessionable.
So these are sharing beers. They come in 500 milliliter
very short
bottles.
Session.
They're great for sharing and sipping and discussing.
Yes.
And trading online.
Is there going back to the no rules? Is there a type of glass? Because some places you go and it's like, oh, we've got all these different glasses. If I'm gonna we're drinking out of a plastic cup and it tastes delicious to me, my palate might not be as educated.
Sure.
It's not as educated.
We
as
call it a budget snifter.
That's
okay.
Right.
So should these be in a snifter? Should they?
Yeah.
So okay. So they get
ideal.
A little air.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Running through them.
Yeah. But you'll notice, I mean, we're also pouring this at like 55 degrees or so, so you're getting a lot of aromatics out of it.
Okay.
What we're drinking now is the Proprietor's Blend. This has bananas, roasted almonds, and cinnamon in it. And this is actually kind of the result of an internal competition we have every year amongst all the brewers at Goose Island. Everyone is given a chance to come up with what they think that year's variant should be for proprietors. So you get all sorts of wacky flavors involved, but you get a lot of cool flavors that maybe have never been seen before in a stout, or some wheelhouse flavors like cinnamon or coconut or vanilla, coffee, things that tend to work well.
So Cody, you got to come out. They're all trying to wait. Cody's still hung up on the last one.
Sure.
So now, Quinn, everybody's giving you these ideas, and as one of the R&D brewers, are you like, do we really need to put bananas in a... Because almonds, like, makes sense to me as a layman. I go, okay, that's good. And what's cassia bark?
Cassia bark's a fun way, you know, cool kid way to say cinnamon.
Oh, okay.
Is it a hot term?
It's a hot term.
Cody, hot term number three, cassia bark.
Quality.
Cinnamon is so 1985.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So, but somebody, you know, banana.
Sure.
It sounds crazy.
A lot of people have had, you know, very skeptical kind of views on what this beer might bring to the table when you add bananas into it, but I've been submitting these banana variants for the last 3 years.
I like a man with that. You would not quit.
I've been on the banana train.
There will be banana in one of these Bourbon County stouts.
Yeah, and getting the right kind of banana character into it is really the goal. I always thought of chocolate covered bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of natural chocolate character that you get from the Imperial Stout base. So it's just a way of getting the right flavor of the banana into the stout, and then complementing it with some nice flavors to round it out.
So, and so all of these are based, all of these come from the Bourbon County stuff. That's the baseline, and then you're adding and doing all your craziness.
And what I mean, what Jesse and Brett have been talking about, complementary flavors. Like, there's a lot of natural flavors that come from bourbon barrel aging, that process. A lot of vanilla, a lot of chocolate, a lot of caramel, some coconut, and you can accentuate those flavors, or you can kind of add on to those flavors. So all the we get all sorts of fun ideas every year when this process starts. We
so now you must be starting the process for next year's, right? If they have to age for 6 to 12 months.
We're putting Bourbon County into barrels right now for 2018.
Okay.
And that's a year-round process for us from the start, and we kind of have a nice setup now where we have so much barrel aging space that we can start barrel aging beers ahead of time, and so that we can get a nice blend of the age on those barrels to make sure that our Bourbon County is consistent across all the beer that we take out of barrels.
And this proprietor's is only going to be available in Chicago.
Yes.
Right? Very
Chicago
nice.
Only.
We actually just had a prop day today. It was a big event that we did. We had about 2,000-something people. Mm-hmm. Everybody lined up just to buy us beer.
Wow. Very nice.
We had a bunch of yahoos coming in from all over the country.
Like St. Paul, for example.
It's crazy. So we know the big releases in the stores is on Friday, as always is the case. Are there going to be any events on Wednesday? Because, you know, Wednesday's the big bar day. People love to drink the night before Thanksgiving. They might want to buy some wonderful beers or find some wonderful beers and sit at home and have a snifter.
Yeah, there's a lot of great places. Fountainhead, Kaiser Tiger, all great beer places that will have Bourbon County Stout. I think the easiest way to find out is checking us out on social media.
So go to GooseIsland.com?
Yeah. These guys are GooseIsland.com.
Absolutely.
And follow we can find Twitter. Out all the places where, and Twitter, it's Goose Island.
Yeah.
So there will be some available in bars on Wednesday.
On draft.
On tap.
Okay, so for the guys that want to take it home and show off, you can't do it.
But can't do it till Friday.
Drinking at a bar.
Is the day.
Drinking out, yeah.
And remember, if you're going to be drinking Bourbon County Stout at a bar, I have to say this, it's 14% alcohol, so take an Uber or walk. Or
pace yourself.
You know, have somebody carry you. Pace yourself. Yeah. Very short session beer. Every year it's fun to do this, but it's always great to see you guys throughout the year. Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island was here. Quinn Fuchel, who is a brewer with Goose Island. And our new beer friend, Brett Splinter from Barrel Theory in St. Paul, Minnesota, which we hear is only like a 12-minute flight.
It's pretty quick.
And, $80 flight.
Yeah. $80, and once you get off the plane, I think they're right outside the airport.
We pick you up at the airport.
Oh, it's beautiful. Pick you up at the airport. You have an MPG on the way, and then you sit down and have a Black Lotus when you get there.
So many empty promises today. Thank you so much. Yeah. So
people are used to me lying.
For sure.
So go to GooseIsland.com. If you're going up to the St. Paul area, go to BarrelTheory.com. And, guys, thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving, and congratulations, and good luck with this year's. We mentioned you got the barley wine. We mentioned the coffee stout, the Northwoods, just, you know, you have to get to a store early Friday, right, Cody? I know we're late. I know we're late. We're gonna do this, and then it'll be news time. So that's that. It's WGN. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Karen Conti. She is an expert attorney who will answer all your legal questions at 312-981-7200. I'm a guy who likes to sample beer and push buttons. Good to see you after a couple weeks.
This place smells like a brewery.
Of course it does.
Yeah. It smells like my college years, you know, walking into like a fraternity or something. It always smells like that, no matter whether they clean it up or not. It always smells like that.
I would like to have gone to a fraternity at your school if they drank expensive beer like this. Ours, it was Natural Light, a Busch Light, Lone Star, really cheap beer.
This is good stuff.
We have a higher level of smell.
That's true.
So, how have you been?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Is there anybody who's not a sexual deviant?
I think we're all on the list.
Okay, very good. Because that's...
and Brian, I've been meaning to tell you my problems with the way you...
I gotta be honest. Is there any guy now who's not going, at some point in my life, did I... say or
because
you figure at some point, even if you don't, and this is the problem, even if you didn't mean it that way, there's a good chance that you probably said something that could have been taken the wrong way. Even if that was not your intent, it still could have come across that way. Even if you consider yourself a decent human being who says, I would never harass or push myself on somebody.
Take it out of the sexual harassment scenario for 1 minute. It's almost like, let's just say that, have we all been insensitive to somebody at some point in our lives? Have you said something stupid or something that was maybe, oh, I shouldn't have said that? But most people, when they say something insensitive, they gauge the reaction from somebody and they go, oh. wrong thing to say.
Right.
Should not have said, you know, but how's your pregnancy? Should
but it's
not
already have been said.
But it's already been said. But my point is, a normal person will gauge that and not do it again.
Right.
And a normal person will feel bad and will back off from that or apologize or what have you. And when it comes to sexual harassment, I don't think it's just some guy saying something just a little off color. I just don't think most women are offended by that. I know I'm not. But it's targeting, making someone feel uncomfortable, doing it in a way that demeans them, doing it in a way that, in some cases, constitutes battery in some of the cases we're seeing. So I don't think men have to be worried about this. I don't think women are, you know, to be treaded upon or trotted around lightly. I think women can take a joke. I think men can take a joke. I don't think that we have to change everything. I think there are certain people who need to learn a lesson.
Well, and you make a very good point, because I think there's a difference between someone making a comment and then realizing, oh, or having the person that they made the comment to say that to, I don't appreciate that, and then they'll go, oh, and they learn, and it's done. At that point, that incident is done, because that person is probably going to be very, very careful about what they say from now on. And the person who it was said to, who felt uncomfortable, has stood up for themselves, and now it should
be
a done deal.
And in further proof of this, there's a study, there are a bunch of studies that show that when they do this sensitivity training at all these jobs, you know, mm-hmm. and of course now all of the employers are calling up their lawyers saying, come in and give me, you know, the best training that you can, what they have found is that it really doesn't help, because the people who are receptive to that training aren't going to do that anyway.
Right.
And the people who have problems are going to look at that and say, well, that's just a woman being unreasonable, or that doesn't apply to me, or something like that. So it's very interesting that the training doesn't do anything.
Before we get into the specifics, I know, and we're kind of touching on this now, there's a lot of guys who are like, boy, I really have to watch everything I say. Now, when I'm substituting, I'm with, it's predominantly women.
Sure.
And I know I won't even say, oh, you look nice today, because I don't want it to be misconstrued, even though that would, you know, that's not my intention to make somebody feel uncomfortable. It would just be, you know, somebody comes in, they look nice, oh, you look nice.
Yeah, but...
But there's a lot of guys who now are, I think, maybe overly sensitive to their own actions and words, because there's no real definition. Right? There's no real definition of sexual harassment, is there?
Not really. I mean, it's what's offensive to the average woman. Not even the woman that we're talking about. Because let's just say that you're super hyper sensitive and someone says something that you take the wrong way. That's not what the standard is. The standard is, what would a normal average person think about that comment? And, you know, going back to your situation about complimenting, you know, I get this all the time where someone in the elevator will say, you look nice today. It's the way they say it. You know, I take that as wonderful. Women say that. Men say that. I'm perfectly happy. I love that. I say the same thing to men and women.
Sure, people like compliments.
And I mean it. But it's if they're leering at you and stepping into your space and raising their eyebrows and saying some comment about those shoes look like you should be out on the dance floor, you know, whatever. I mean, something inappropriate like that.
Yeah.
I guess I just think that this whole episode that we're having is good in one way, but it's bad in another way, because I think it might make men feel like, oh, we're going to be victims, and now we have to treat women differently, and it could backfire against women. I'm very, very afraid of that.
Really? I don't think men will... I guess I'm only talking from my perspective. I don't feel that I would feel like a victim. I would just be cognizant of, I don't want to say anything that might, and I know women are strong. I know women aren't dainty little flowers who will wilt at any kind of comment, but I also don't want to inadvertently cross a line that I didn't want to cross and then have to deal with the fallout of that.
Sure.
If I did inadvertently offend somebody.
I agree, and I think most men are thinking that exact thought.
And even if it's guys who, you know, would never in a million years think, yeah, this is my MO. I go out and I pressure women, I do this and that. But it's a tough line, because you want to respect everybody, and these women who are coming out, I think, are wonderful. This is their time. They should come out. It should have been addressed a long time ago. So it's a a tough line.
It's really a tough line. And, you know, I think back, Brian, to the days 30 years ago when I was starting out, and I really wanted to be part of the guys because it was a largely, predominantly male field, especially the people who were in charge at the time in the big law firms. They were all men, okay?
Yeah.
And the women who rose to the top, a lot of them took off time to have babies and the like. There were not flexible work hours. So it was largely run by men. And I always wanted to make myself part of the gang. I wanted to go out running with them. I wanted to go to watch sports with them. I'll go out for a beer after work because I wanted to be part of the group so I could get the good work and I could be part of the team.
Right.
And when I did that, though, I found that some people took that the wrong way, that I'm being flirtatious or that I'm being too friendly. And, you know, that's a real thin line to walk because I don't want to be, I don't want to differentiate myself because I'm a woman. But on the other hand, I don't want to give someone the wrong idea. It's a tightrope.
And for a woman, you know, that's a horrible thing to want to, you know, you want to succeed in a business that, in your case, and in a lot of industries, male dominated when women were starting their careers. And you shouldn't have to worry that, all right, you go running, you go out and have a drink after work, just like everybody else in the firm. But now, I'm sure there were the vast majority of guys who just were like, oh, all right, Karen's here. But there had to have been a couple who took that and maybe went too far.
Right.
And one time, as you say, one time you stand up to them, and if they stop, okay. But then it's the ones who just keep going. And maybe you can speak to this, because we've been seeing this in all these cases. Women don't want to come forward for a number of reasons, right?
Right. I mean, and I just asked this in an interview the other day, you know, why don't you come forth now and talk about all the things that happened to you and name these people and call them out? Well, first of all, my career is in a place where I'm very happy with it. Yeah. I don't need to bring anyone down. I don't need to talk about my past specifically. I can talk about it generally if it's going to help some other young woman or stop some man from doing something inappropriate. But I certainly, you know, I'm certainly not going to, it's not relevant to me anymore. But looking back, I see it as something that I should never have had to go through. I saw other women do it, going through the same thing and probably worse in some cases. And I guess I'm very happy that these things are coming out now. But I guess I just don't know a good way to handle it, because when you have someone who wants to intimidate you a little bit, because they say this kind of stuff, there's an intent to kind of make you feel insecure and bring you down a little bit. Men in the workplace who do this are generally insecure people. They feel threatened by a woman being in the same workplace, and they've got to do these little things that kind of set them at ill at ease. And if you look at the psychology of it, that's probably true of most of the people that we're talking about here. And it's different than sex abuse. It's different than a 14-year-old girl in a car where you're forcing yourself on someone. That's different than sexual harassment. I'll call that something else. But again, I think we're going to see a big change, and I just hope it all comes down in favor of women. And I say women, of course, men and women.
We'll get into some of the different types of conduct, because all of these cases have been vastly different.
Yes.
So we're going to get into, you can delineate some of those for us.
Sure.
And, of course, we'll answer different legal questions. Karen is here, 312-981-7200. So if you have any sort of legal question for Karen, by all means, get it in. But this is a huge story that doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon. And it ranges from politics to entertainment to somebody could be working at a coffee shop. Anybody. This is happening all over. So obviously we're going to talk about it more with Karen on the other side. It is 720 WGN. Doesn't seem possible that it was a year ago that the entertainment or the Billy Bush tape came out with the president talking about grabbing women by the, you know, and now then Harvey Weinstein and everybody. But the latest one, you know, we'll talk about Roy Moore and stuff, but the latest one was Senator Al Franken. And if he's guilty of what he's guilty of, it's as heinous as anybody else. I do think it's different than Roy Moore, which is allegedly against children, and we can talk about that. But you have a unique perspective on this. One, you're a female. Two, your father was a stand-up comic. You have a very good sense of humor. I was looking at that picture, and I'm taking this separate from the other allegations, where his accuser says he grabbed her head and he forced his tongue in her mouth. I'm taking that as a different thing, because that's obviously has crossed a line. The picture, I have trouble with the picture, because the picture seems like a goof. You know, there were a lot of people around. It didn't look like he was touching her. Yeah, it was stupid. It wasn't the right thing to do if she was asleep. Now, if she was awake, and maybe that's a different story. But I have trouble with the picture. What about you?
Okay, let me just say this. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, and I'm by no means saying that race discrimination is any less severe or worse or better. I'm not even going to compare. But let's just change the fact here.
Okay.
Let's just say that that person in the chair, instead of being a female sleeping, was an African-American male sleeping. And let's just say that Franken, he's not a senator at this point, is goofing off and he has a KKK hood. And he's going near him with the KKK hood and he's mugging for the camera. Doesn't that offend you?
Sure.
Okay, but why is it that we're less offended when a guy is going to grab a woman's breasts? Why is that? It's because we're so used to women being objectified, so used to women, men, you know, in a lot of cases, mocking that. I mean, it's look at Facebook, look at the YouTube. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff where women are being made fun of or abused or grabbed or whatever. We're so immune to women being grabbed that we don't even find that really offensive. I'm not saying that you're wrong or I'm right. I'm just saying it's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, I completely understand why she would be upset by that picture. I'm not saying that what he did was right. I'm saying it was stupid, but I'm looking at it, and to me it's, and maybe you're right, maybe it's because we're used to that kind of, it seems like a good-natured kind of thing. And
it seems like a frat boy kind of thing, right?
And but, they were on a big comedy tour, and I'm not, by no means am I blaming her, because I said, the other incident is separate from this. Was she asleep? Was she in on it? I don't know.
And don't we draw a line, though, too, between comedy and the workplace?
And real grabbing. You know, if there was a picture of her, of him doing that, and he had, like, put her in a corner or something, then it's clear cut. This, to me, there's a gray area,
right.
You know?
And part of comedy is to take it to the limit and be funny in a way that, you know, is exaggerating and is a caricature. I mean, and that's probably what he was doing. And I do think that's different than being in the workplace and doing something like that.
And somebody sent a text. Imagine saying to me, if it was my daughter, he was pretending to grow up. And yes, I would be upset.
Because your daughter's in that field, too. So,
right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not saying he's right. By no means. I'm just wondering if that was more a consensual picture than maybe we think. I don't know. And if it's not, then he's as guilty as anybody else, you know? And he may be as guilty as anybody else for the other things she alleges, you know? But
I think that's all very interesting. But I think my point is that, you know, we have paid a lot of attention to discrimination based on religion and race and gender and age and all of those things. But when it comes to sexual harassment, I think we're still like a little bit in the dark, and people still act like it's some mystery that you're not supposed to treat women like that.
Well, I think it's because of the shades of. I think there's certain things that, you know, if you're a rational human being, are absolutely wrong. No question about it. If you put your hands on somebody, that's wrong. If you corner them, if you tell them you can only have this job if you do this, most rational people know that those are wrong. But then there's the things that, you know, in this, and it's a cultural thing that we have to outgrow and evolve from. A little off-color comment, is that, you know, does that rise to the same level? It's still wrong, but does it rise to the same level as if I grabbed you or threatened your job because you wouldn't sleep a bit? All right, we got a break. We'll talk about this more on the other side, because I'd like to get your answer on that. We also have other calls with other legal questions, so we will get to those. And you can always get a hold of Karen during the week. How do they get a hold of you during
the week? You can email me at WGN@AskKarenConti.com or 312-332-7800.
More with Karen after the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. Karen's here answering your legal questions. We're also talking about the rash of sexual harassment claims coming out and sexual misconduct, because there's a difference, right? Let's differentiate between sexual harassment and some of the more serious stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually any touching at all, like what Franken did by kissing somebody, if that's what he did, and he stuck his tongue down her throat, and she didn't want that to happen. That's assault and battery, okay. Sexual assault and battery, and that's a crime in almost right. every state. Certainly, if you're having sex with a 14-year-old or you're trying to have sex with a 14-year-old, that's a whole set of other bad.
Right.
You know, so, and then, of course, Weinstein has the whole gamut of quid pro quo, sexual harassment in a civil context, but also, of course, masturbating in front of people and trying to have sex or even raping people, all other sexual crimes. So he's got the whole book there.
So Louis C.K. falls in, the allegations against him, the same masturbation in front of people, I guess kind of blocking people's way out. What crime would that blocking somebody's way out?
That might be some sort of assault because it's a threatening behavior. And if they're blocking the way out, that could be some kind of false imprisonment, which is more like it could be civil, it could be criminal. But because I don't know if those people were employed by the same company,
right.
I don't know how that would play. But, you know, it's just the whole gamut of conduct that can be civil and criminal.
All right. And before the break, we were talking, and I was talking about degrees of wrong, and you wanted to kind of jump in and comment on that.
Well, I we were talking about in terms of...
Well, we were talking about Franken. We were talking about just all of these cases and you know, stupidity versus criminality and,
right.
and all of that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know... Everyone's different, but I think that you have to look at the harm that's done. And again, going back to what you were saying, making comments, making some stupid comment that's insensitive, that's a very different thing than stalking someone. I had, you know, I've represented women in these cases. I represented employers in these cases. And, you know, you see these men will ask the woman out over and over again, follow her to her car to the point where she quits her job or she asks to be relocated. And she has to be relocated instead of him because mm-hmm. the company is insensitive to the whole scenario. You see employers in very high places using perks. You know, if you do this, I'll give you this, a free lunch, a free that, a free membership, a free, a better office with a view, and all in exchange. Look at all the things that I did for you, and now you're not going to go out to dinner with me.
Right.
I see all sending women out on sales calls who are pretty and promising the sales people who are buying from them, you know, that these people are ready to be dated.
Wow.
I see all different kinds of these things, and they're all bad in all different ways. And it's really hard to understand how it affects women unless you've been the woman or you've been related to a woman who goes to work every day afraid of her job, afraid of losing not only her job, but maybe her job in the whole industry because everybody knows what happens in certain industries. So there's a lot of horrible things that come from these types of behaviors.
Before we get to some of these non-sexual harassment stories, let's get this out of the way because you know there's a segment of the population when these women come forward who will immediately think that they are lying. The president has said all 12 of his accusers are lying. Roy Moore has said his accusers are lying. Some guys say, no, they're not lying. In all your years, and I know there are studies on this, what's the percentage of women who will come out and lie about this? Because it doesn't seem easy once you come out and make these accusations.
I would say I rarely have seen that in 30 years of practice. I would say 1%. What I do see occasionally is a woman who might be overly sensitive.
Okay.
Okay. Where something, she takes a couple comments the wrong way, and maybe she's just, you know, for some reason, maybe she had something happen to her in the past, maybe she's kind of prim and proper, maybe she wasn't raised with swearing or something, but for the lion's share of women never come forward when it comes to rape, when it comes to sexual harassment. So the idea that these women are lying, I just don't think it happens. Okay. I really don't.
Lawrence has a question or a story regarding this topic. Hi, Lawrence.
I want to say that I always try to listen to your show. The two of you are very interesting.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Lawrence.
It's a good show, and I might send you an email sometime, Taryn.
Okay,
but,
sure.
But maybe even about what I'm talking about. I read a lot about and I think a lot about these issues of crime and behavior and legal matters. And first of all, I want to just say that I had a lot of discussions with a very intelligent man, a retired businessman, who told me that he knew a man who was the head of a computer company. He was the president. And he used to like to, you know, say things to compliment. He complimented a secretary, and all of a sudden he was hauled before the board of directors, and they say, we can't have a guy talking like you, you're out. And so he was ejected from his job totally from the company. He died fairly soon after that. I don't know if it was related to the stress of being dumped from his career or not. So it does make me think that there. I'm totally against all forms of teasing. I don't think we should do it. I think it's dangerous, and I think people have the idea it's always cute. But particularly when one person is subject to a lot of teasing from a crowd of people, it gets out of hand. I'm sure we've all seen that. And I have to say, I've also noticed a lot of cases on the internet news recently. They say that there's female school teachers who have been called into court and prosecuted because they have relations with teenage boys. So there's that kind of sexual abuse, too.
Oh, sure.
And it's all very disturbing, and I'm against all of it, and I don't believe people should be going around teasing and thinking that it's safe, because it's not safe. It seems like fun when you're doing it, but, I mean, somebody takes it the wrong way, and there's certain people that they won't tease because they actually see something fearsome about them. You know, somebody who might be, a big hulking person who might not take the teasing very well.
Well, and I think that, you know, again, I sound like I'm always for the woman, and I never believe, you know, believe the man, but I really think women, you know, one of the things that I think will help women is to just be as strong as they can and say what they feel. That makes me feel uncomfortable. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to call someone out in the middle of a room. But, you know, you just walk over to someone. And, again, when I was a young lawyer, this is something that was hard for even me, who was a strong person and am a strong person. And just say, listen, you know what? You did that. I don't feel comfortable. Or, you know, the other thing, you see racial things where people are telling racial jokes in the locker room or somewhere in the lunchroom, you know. Say it. This we shouldn't be doing this. This is not funny. Don't do it. It's not good for you. I don't want to be part of it. You know, don't stop sending me those emails. I don't want to be part of an internet, string.
Take me off that chain.
Because the employer can go on your computer and find it all, and you're receiving it, and you're laughing. Ha ha, LOL. You know what?
Like Billy Bush. You're going along and laughing.
You're going along and laughing. So, you know, just don't do it, and don't be part of it, and I don't want you to do that to me again. And the smile. And that's it.
Lawrence, thank you for the call. Before we take a break and then go on to non-sexual harassment calls, this is an important topic, so obviously we're going to... Do you think this is a turning point? Because we've heard this before, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. All right, now we're becoming more enlightened. Now it's come to light. We think of when this happened to Anita Hill, you're like, well, this has to be a turning point.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. And now we have the Me Too movement and more women... becoming emboldened to finally call out their accusers and say, listen, this is happening and it's not right. Is this finally the time, do you think, when it's going to make a change?
I do feel like this is a turning point. I think that there's just a whole momentum here that we didn't have with any of the other instances of sexual harassment. With the sheer numbers of people coming out, the whole Fox thing, the whole, you know, they're just layers of this.
Right.
And I just think that this is a turning point. And listen, everyone's talking about the law. The law's been good for women and sexual harassment for years.
Yeah, the law's been there.
It's always been the same. You can't do this stuff. So now maybe prosecutors are going to start prosecuting. Maybe now employers are going to start really doing something instead of investigating and rubber stamping and saying, oh, we don't think anything happened. We're just going to make nice and you guys play nice together. No, employers are going to fire people who are doing this. And so I do think this is going to change, and it's going to be fun to look back 20 years from now and see if there's been a change.
Yeah. And if you have a story like people have been in this position, you handle that kind of, or you can recommend somebody who can do that?
Yeah, I can recommend someone. You know, those cases are very hard to prove, and generally what I tell people is try to figure out a way to stay in your job if you can, if you can't, and if it's obviously something physical, you're going to call the police.
Right.
But suing an employer and spending 3 years in court with an employer is, you can do it, but I always try to encourage people to get another job, walk away, or report it and rectify it, one or the other. And the lawsuits are really difficult to prove and to win, and they're hard on you because you're reliving all of this for 3 years. And people are going to accuse you of being a liar. People are going to accuse you of dressing inappropriate. People are going to do all the things that you're seeing all the people do to the women who are coming forward now.
Unbelievable. But if people have other legal questions, how do they get a hold of you during the week?
Sure. You can call me 312-332-7800. Leave a detailed message with all the information. But better yet, email me at my new email address, which is WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
Very nice. All right, we've got some non-sexual harassment conversation, but feel free to weigh in on any legal topic, 312-981-7200. More with Karen after this, WGN. Let's change the topic right now and talk to Peter. He's in Sauk Village. Hi, Peter.
Hi there. How are you guys doing? Let me get you off speaker. I was listening to the news that way.
Thank you.
I have, two problems, and one of which probably both of which I need to talk to Karen during the week. The first one, though, as while I was sitting here, I'm beginning to wonder if exactly what I need. Is it truly a lawyer who knows tax stuff and inheritance law?
What's your issue, Lauren?
My issue is this. I don't know my tax position now. My mother passed away recently, and the will has not been read yet, from what I know of it, there's monies that will roll over into annuities that will form a trust that will pay out every month to me. And I don't know what kind of tax position I have with that money.
That's a hard one, because I don't practice in either tax or estate planning, and that is going to be very dependent on how the wording is in the will. So if it's a will, or I don't know if maybe she had a trust and that put money into an annuity that then set up a trust through which the payments are coming to you, that's very complicated, and there may be taxes on that. And there's inheritance kinds of taxes and things like that, but that's something that I would set you up with a lawyer, and I have just the person who is not only an estate planning lawyer, meaning she knows how to do all this setup for this, but she knows tax. She's got a master's in tax law.
How can Peter get a hold of you during the week?
So send me an email at WGN@AskKarenConti.com. That's K-A-R-E-N as in Nancy, Conti, C-O-N-T-I. WGN@AskKarenConti.com, and I will introduce you to my friend who is just the person to give you these answers.
All right. Good luck, Peter. Unfortunately, we are out of time. This was a very spirited discussion about a very important issue.
Yes.
So people may not have gotten through. Like, we didn't get to Sandra, we didn't get to a couple other callers. How can they get a hold of you, once again, to get their questions answered?
Happy to talk to you. 312-332-7800. It's a private line, so leave me a detailed message about all your problems and the time and where you are and all that type of thing. And then the other way is WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
You'll be on with Steve on Wednesday morning.
I will.
This is our last show of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're not here next week, right? You were vacationing for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yes.
We are not here at all in December.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Happy New Year.
Yes.
And happy Hanukkah and happy everything.
Maybe you will grace us one time and come in with the web exclusive podcast.
I would love to do that.
All right. So
I can do my year end in review. I usually have.
Perfect.
Yes.
We will talk about that.
Let's do that.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Okay,
I'll talk to you before the end of the year. All right.
Let's do
this. And then it'll be time to come back and say goodbye. It's WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the program. Thanks again to Karen. Thanks to our friends from Goose Island and Barrel Theory. We will talk to you again next Sunday. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll be in for Roe Thursday and Friday, so you can listen to me in the afternoons. And then we'll be here again next Sunday. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Roger.
You too, sir.
Out of the cone of silence for now.
You.
Don't get too cocky. So thank you to Roger and thank you to Cody. We'll talk to you again very soon. This is the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn and everything will work out fine. Don't worry that it's listening to you. The news is sponsored by Aspect, Peel, and Stick Tiles. It's 9 o'clock. Here's Roger Badish.
Right now.